We've been talking about bodybuilding, actually talking about building the church, which is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. It is from him that we have our lifeline. The goal is, as we build the body, that doesn't mean numbers particularly, it's as we mature and become more like Jesus Christ in our lives. If we do not maintain a real tight connection with our head, there will be problems, and we will not be what the Lord wants us to be. We've talked about becoming radically devoted to Christ, irrevocably committed to one another, and relentlessly dedicated to preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Last week, we studied 1 Corinthians 12, and there we found several attitudes or characteristics of a mature believer in Christ. One of the great psychological discoveries of this past century was that your thoughts control your actions. And if you want to change the way you act, you have to change the way you think. Actually, God had inspired Paul to write about that nearly 2,000 years ago. In Romans 12, he said, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I think there's great wisdom there. If there's a problem in our life, we need to change the way we think about things before we can force a change in our behavior. Anyway, I want to review these attitudes, and I don't know if attitude is the best word, but these are attitudes, ways that we would view things, characteristics in the believer's life. These are several that I found in 1 Corinthians 12. First of all, that we are one body, even though we're made up of many different members. Also, that we are individually and diversely gifted by God's design. Also, the purpose of our giftedness is not for ourselves. It is for the rest of the body. God has equipped each one of us to do one thing or another, maybe a few things, so that the body can benefit, not the individual. We are to be willing to function as God has designed us. There should be no inferiority complex and no jealousy of, well, I can't do what someone else can do. There also should be no superiority complex or judgment of others that, you know, they don't do this and they can't do that. Look at me. Look what I can do. That's bad. There should be no withdrawal or isolation from one another. And finally, we are to empathize with one another, sharing pain and also celebration when things happen in the body. Now this morning, we're going to focus not on attitudes, but on action, on the body functioning as the body of Christ is supposed to function. Paul compares the church body with the human body. He says every member of the body is interdependent upon one another. And I know that this is true of my physical body. My hand is dependent upon my shoulder. It doesn't go anywhere without the arm. It gains energy from the food that my mouth eats. It gets oxygen from the what's processed by my lungs and circulated by the heart and so forth. This is equally true of the church body. I would not be able to stand up here on Sunday mornings and preach if it weren't for people who pay for and take care of the building. We have people who depend on others to get them here to services. And while we all have responsibility to tithe, some are able to give more than others. Some have more patience and creativity to work with children. Others have the patience and creativity it takes to work with the elderly. Some are better up front. Others are better behind the scenes. The bottom line is, each and every one of us is designed by God to function in some way. And we had better be busy doing it. We need to be discovering what it is God wants us to do, what it is that the body needs, and to be actively involved, every one of us, actively involved in ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And we looked at these verses as well as the rest of Ephesians 4 three or four weeks ago, but we're just going to zone in on a couple of verses here for the moment. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11. It says, "It was He," referring to Christ, "it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The idea here is that Jesus has gifted leadership in the church to prepare God's people for works of service. I think leaders today would include the elders and other officers, teachers, facilitators, those who are up front, those who are leading different aspects of our congregational life. If the body is to function properly, those of us in any position of leadership are responsible to challenge and to encourage and to equip the rest of the body to function as the Lord desires. One of my goals this year is that each of us who are in leadership would find someone else to help us in that position, that we would incorporate someone else as an assistant or a co-worker or what have you, so that people can always be in training in different positions or experimenting with different positions. It's okay to try a ministry and find out, well, you know, this just, it's not for me. There must be something else. And then go on and try something else. I'd like you to notice that it is God's people who are to do the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It is not my job as your pastor to do the bulk of the ministry that would take place within our congregation. It is not my job as your pastor to build up the body of Christ. It is your job, if you are God's people, to do works of service so that the body may be built up. It is your job to do the bulk of the teaching, hospital calling, home visitation, outreach, caregiving for one another, writing of lessons and articles, administration, encouragement, keeping in touch with one another, building upkeep, groundskeeping, counseling, errands, fellowship opportunities, phone calls, leadership, etc. This is the job of the body. Now, leadership has responsibility to equip and to challenge those things, to help organize, and it's not that I'm trying to get out of doing these things. I love doing all of these things, but I'm not capable of doing all of the ministry that needs to be done within the body. You cannot leave it all to me. It won't get done. And what does get done wouldn't be done very well. And it would rob you, and it would stifle the growing of the body, besides violating what the Lord intends that the body would be. The Lord intends that the body of Christ, each of us who are individual members, would be actively involved in ministry, building up ourselves, building up the body. And it doesn't mean that I won't be working full time and giving 100%. I will be. I intend to, always. But it does mean all of us need to be giving that. While we're here in Ephesians 4, I'd like you to notice the last part of verse 16, where it just wraps up with, I think, a really important point where it says simply, as each part does its work. This is key. None of us is exempt. None of us has put in enough time or done our share. None of us is too old. None of us, I don't think, is too young. Each part must do its work. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we were here last week looking at different attitudes, characteristics that ought to be true in us. This morning we'll just scan a few points, not on attitude, but on functioning. Functioning as the body of Christ. We won't read the passage, or all of it, but remember that the point that Paul makes about each one doing its part. Let the foot do the walking and the balancing. Let the ear do the hearing. Let the hand do the handling. Let the upfront people do the things up front, and let the behind the scenes people do their thing behind the scenes, and let them have the love and appreciation and acknowledgement that they need, because often the upfront people, they get their appreciation and honor and acknowledgement. We are all interdependent upon one another, and it's to everyone's advantage that everyone be appreciated and loved and acknowledged in what they do. We do have to read verse 26 while we're here in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is an essential concept. If one of our members is honored, is celebrating something, that's good news for all of us. It's something that we can all rejoice over. If I slam, you know, physically, if I slam my finger in a drawer, my whole body is going to react. It might be just the finger that swells up and that bleeds and that bruises and is really sore, but that's going to affect my whole body. Likewise, if one of our members, church members, is hurting, we're all to share that hurt. We're one. We're a team. We're a unit. And so we share the joys and the pains. And at times, I feel like we do really well with this, because people will gather together and they'll share a hurt. And I'm often pleased. But there are times when we could do better. And I think being reminded of this and understanding our oneness, understanding that when the finger gets slammed in the drawer, the whole body suffers because of it. Likewise, when one of us gets slammed in the drawer, we all suffer. And if we all share the pain, then I think we can get each other through it. That's not all there is to that concept. I'll read the verse again. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. I think there's more to it than just empathy. The whole body will suffer because of the lack of function of that member. Back to the finger thing. If my finger is slammed in the drawer and it swells up, it's very, very sensitive, it's bruised, I'm not going to be able to use it to do things, and so the rest of the body has to pitch in and make up for what my finger would have done. And the same thing happens also within the church. So the whole body suffers when one member is unable to function and isn't able to function as God has intended. Let's go to Romans 12 now. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 3 through 8. Romans 12, we'll start with verse 3. Again, it's the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." So Paul touches again on attitude here just a bit. Let there be no superiority thinking. Don't think that you're better than others because of what you can do. Don't think that you're more spiritual than others because of what you can do. Rather, simply be serious about what the Lord has called you to do. And do it. Excel in it. Give 100%. Do your best at it. And again, he points out one body, many members, diverse function. And he reminds us that we all belong. We literally belong to each other. And so we help one another. Notice the point Paul here emphasizes. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him prophesy. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. Encouraging, let him encourage. Giving, let him give. Leadership, let him lead. Mercy, let him be merciful. And I want to mention that here when it says, let him do this and that, it doesn't mean permit him. It's not a permission thing. It's in effect, he's saying, get at it. If you're gifted at this or that, get to it. Find what it is that you're gifted at and give of yourself to it. Get training if you need to improve in it, but excel in it. Dedicate yourself to it, to being the body part that you are designed to be. And this is very, very important. I'll also mention that this list is by no means exhaustive. Whatever it is that you can do, Whatever you can contribute to the body, do it. Do it to the Lord's glory. Use it as a gift unto Him. The foot needs to focus on walking and balance. The liver needs to focus on filtering and production. The body needs someone to see and someone to speak and someone to listen. Whatever it is that you can do, you owe it. Not only to the Lord, but also to the body of Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. We'll look at a couple of verses here. Peter addresses some of the same things. We'll look at verses 10 and 11. First Peter 4, verse 10. He there says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. Remember, grace is a gift. However it is that you've been gifted, use it. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If we do church God's way, we will be able to capitalize on everyone's strengths, and we'll be able to minimize and compensate for everyone's weaknesses. The various body parts are created by God to function. You cannot expect the finger to see or the nose to walk, although the nose can run, as we probably all know. There's no need to compare the thumb with the liver. While we have unity in the body, we do not have uniformity. And in one of the other passages, Paul pointed out that would be a problem if everyone was a foot. You know, where would be the seeing and the hearing and so forth? And that would be dysfunctional. Sometimes when one member isn't functioning, back to the finger slammed in the drawer, and when the finger then is not able to function, someone else has to pitch in and cover for that. Sometimes this happens in the church. Sometimes it just becomes a way of doing things. We find someone that's willing to do anything that they're asked, and so, you know, we're maybe always asking a finger to do thumb work or to do seeing work or listening work or what have you. And the whole body suffers when we're out of our job description, out of our design description. We need to find what it is God wants us to do. And we need to do it. We need to really excel at it. A functioning, caring body is absolutely essential for growth and for maturity to take place in the church. And I can tell you, I mean, I don't intend to judge, but I can tell you, and I think we would have to all agree, if you're not functioning as whatever it is God has designed you to function, if you're not ministering, if you're not serving the body, then you're not maturing and you're not attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, which is your goal as a Christian, according to the Apostle Paul. It's our goal. Now, it's our job to help each other to do that. And help we must. But if you're not even trying, then there's a problem. And you need to find your ministry and to be busy at it. Synergy can become a wonderful factor in the body of the church. And synergy is when you get, you know, a bunch of people together doing something, it goes so much better, so much more efficiently. And I just this morning was reading someone else's bulletin, and you've probably heard this, but it seems to fit so well, I'm going to share it with you, and then we'll close. We're going over a little bit this morning, and I apologize for that. But this ties in real well. Thinking of geese flying overhead and honking and so forth. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds, and this has been somehow determined scientifically, it adds 71% more flying range than if each bird just flew alone on its own. The lesson here is that people who share a common direction, a sense of community, can go further and they can get where they're going quicker and easier because they're traveling on the thrust of one another. A congregation of the Lord's church is a community within a community. As each member strives to do his or her particular part of the church work, they are helping one another reach their potential. One who tries to go it alone will never accomplish what should be accomplished for the Lord and little for anyone else. When a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to fly alone, and it quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. And the lesson here, if we have as much sense as a goose, we will stay in formation with those who are headed where we ought to go. Should you find yourself out of formation with your brethren in the church, you should not tarry, but do whatever is necessary to get yourself back into a working relationship with them. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into formation behind the others, and another goose flies up to the point position. It pays to take turns doing the hard tasks and sharing leadership. With people as with geese, people are interdependent. Jesus taught that those within the brotherhood are going to lead in the service. The geese in formation honk from behind I always wondered why they honk. Are they yelling at the guy in the front to get going faster or whatever? I'm not real sure, but somehow whoever wrote this said they're encouraging the leader up in front. And I guess they're saying, way to go. You know, keep it up. You're doing great. That kind of thing. So we need to make sure that our honking from behind is encouraging and that it's nothing less than that. In the Lord's church, we each have a purpose which is clearly seen in the scriptures. Interesting here too, when a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese will drop out of formation and follow it down to the ground to protect it. They stay with that goose until it's either able to fly again or until it dies. And then they'll launch out on their own with another formation or catch up with their flock. Again, if we have as much sense as geese, we will stand together. We're told in Galatians, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. A lot of lessons to be learned from another of God's creation. You know, there's a lot of similarity in the different things that He has created. And a lot of lessons here, I think, for us to learn.